You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
C'est terminé sur un dernier passing shot exceptionnel.
The French Open on In Play Radio.
Yes, we're at the semi-final stage for the men and the women, and delighted to say that Nick Lester's joined us on the line to have a look at these four matches. Serena Williams versus Timia Bajinski. We've also got the match between Anna Ivanovic and Lucy Safarova, and then the men, Novak Djokovic versus Andy Murray, and home favourite Joe Wilfried Tsonga versus Stan Wawrinka. So plenty to look forward to, and as I say, Nick Lester's on the line to preview these with us. It's been a fabulous tournament so far, Nick. You're in Paris and you've finally got the weather.
Yeah, and it's kind of going to feel like a very different tournament as well, Lee, now, I think, because we've been playing in very heavy conditions. It's been kind of cool and cloudy as it has been over Northern Europe. It's been fairly wet, and then you wake up today and there's been a temperature increase of about 9 degrees, and again tomorrow we're expected, and it's going to be sunny and hot, and that's going to very much change conditions, and I think that's going to be an adjustment for the players on many levels. So it's going to be interesting to see how they cope with it.
Let's have a look at the women's semi-finals first of all, then, shall we? We'll start with Serena Williams, who takes on Timia Bajinski. Interesting market, this one. 1-6 Serena, which is plenty short enough. Her opponent is 17-4 at the moment. All the usual markets here, the match result, and both players to win a set. You've got Williams at 100-30, Bajinski at 17-2. Let's talk a bit about the outsider, first of all, Nick. We're reading some interesting articles about her. She's had a very interesting story where she pretty much gave up on tennis for a little while and was going to go into hotel management. She got the bug back, and here she is in the semi-finals of the French Open. She was one of the bright lights of the youth game. In fact, you know, she was one that everyone thought would go on to do great things. Is her time finally coming?
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, in some ways, Lee, I think it's a classic tale, certainly in individual sports, of overcoming adversity. You know, adversity makes you stronger. And I think that's certainly been the case with Timia Bajinski. You sort of touched on it there. It was largely parental troubles that she had. I mean, her father was an abusive father. He pushed her into the game. He effectively, you know, we've seen it, many players. We saw it with Mary Pierce's father. Jim Pierce was a similar story. We saw it with Capriati's father. You could name quite a few, which is a very sad tale. And actually, in some ways, it's even more credit to Timia Bajinski that she's been able to come through this stronger. As far as I'm aware, she doesn't have a relationship now with her dad. She's very close to her mum. I know they're divorced. But that is all in the past, which is fantastic news for her, obviously. And you mentioned the story a couple of years ago. She was just kind of thinking of giving up the game, looking at other careers. She was still kind of playing a little bit. She realized she was in the French Open qualies 2 or 3 years ago, last minute, decided to drive across and found the bug. You know, she got the bug back and wanted to play and wanted to compete. And it's just been one gradual step upwards from there on in, really. Great story, as you say. Her game is, I would say, solid without being spectacular. She's tough. She competes well. Her backhand is very reliable. Even though, if you're looking at the head-to-head market here, even though she hasn't particularly troubled Serena in their last couple of meetings, she has in the opening set in both times. She's been able to keep the opening set fairly close. Obviously, it's a pretty significant step up today, especially with Serena having come through what would seem to be her first week wobble that we so often see from her at majors. But Bajinski, you know, it's been a wonderful rise for her, and she'll be in the top 20, I think, in the world, regardless of if she wins or loses today.
You mentioned that the wobbles that Williams has had, and we are quite used to them. And it was an amazing stat that for, it was rounds 2, 3, 4, she dropped that first set and then went on to win the match, which is actually a bet. And anyone who was following that bet will have done quite well out of it. To lose the first set and win the match, for instance, this time round is 5-1. Do you see her dropping a set here, Bajinski, just to win a set in the match, which obviously takes in the fact that, you know, she could go on then to win two and you'd still get paid out, is around the 13-8 mark. Is she good enough to win a set? 6-4 now, actually, Bajinski has been backed in a little bit overnight. Is she good enough to take a set off Williams?
You know, I'm struggling to make a case for that. I really am, Lee. I just think, you know, you've got to look back at who Williams has played at this tournament. She's played some big hitters. She played Azarenka in the third round, was 2-love down in the third there, was able to pull it through. She then played Sloane Stephens in the fourth round, another player who's in good form and a player who can hurt Williams. She was able to use her forehand to really hurt Williams, to move her around the court, push her around, make it tough. And it really felt as though those two matches have really match-hardened Serena Williams. When I look at this matchup, I have to ask myself, what has Tamia Bleszczynski got in her locker to hurt Williams consistently? And I'm just struggling to find answers for the amount of time she's going to be able to, in a baseline rally, be able to get Williams on the move. She simply doesn't quite have the firepower from the back of the court. I mentioned how good the back end is. It is a very good back end. But is it good enough to be able to outmaneuver Serena Williams on a day where it's going to be quite quick as well? The balls are going to be a little more lively. That's going to help Serena Williams' serve. She's going to get a little more aggression. The balls are going to be going through the air. The court's going to be a little bit quicker as well. All these things, when you put them into the melting pot, certainly I would think favour Serena Williams in this matchup. And for me, I have to be honest, I think it could be a tough day at the office for Tamia Bleszczynski today. Williams looked great against Irani yesterday, and I think she will probably continue that form today. I would expect her to win this fairly handily, 2-0.
So 2-0 for Serena Williams. Who will she meet in the final then, if that's the way that one goes? Anna Ivanovic versus Lucy Safarova over next up. 6-5 Ivanovic, and Lucy Safarova is the favourite here at 7-10. Lucy Safarova, of course, she's not used to going anywhere past this mark. It's a slam. Anna Ivanovic certainly is, and of course back in 2008 she won this title, and she beat Safarova en route to winning that title, so this will have good memories. To be fair, just to level it out, Safarova did beat her at the French Open last year, so two evenly matched players here, Nick. Is it fair that Ivanovic is the outsider here, given that she's got the kind of course and distance form of winning a slam?
Yeah, that's a difficult question. I don't think she is, actually. I think this is. I think there's a fraction of value here in Anna Ivanovic at 6-5. I really do. I think the market's going probably on the fact that Lucy Safarova's beaten the better players along this tournament. I mean, obviously, to beat Sharapova and to beat Muguruza the way she did, the year she's had overall, she's been a more consistent player this year than Anna Ivanovic, who, it shouldn't be forgotten, did have a toe injury earlier in the year. So it's not as if Ivanovic is really, you know, there have been circumstances, I think, excuses for Ivanovic that you could make a case here. Listen, Ivanovic is all about the serve and the forehand. She has probably the best forehand in women's tennis, and certainly the most powerful and the most destructive forehand in women's tennis. And if she can outmaneuver Safarova today and get the nerves under control, I think 6-5 is definitely a bit of value. But Lucy Safarova has improved out of sight in the last year. I mean, there's so many aspects of her game that she does great. She serves well. The lefty serve is effective. She's been using her forehand cross court really well, outmaneuvering opponents, being able to get them on the run. Defensively, she's improved so much. I was talking about this the other day. You know, she makes good decisions now. Perhaps when she was in defensive positions a couple of years ago, she was trying to get out of them with one shot. Now she doesn't do that. She trusts herself a lot more. And I have to say, I think Safarova, my lean here is towards Safarova. I mean, it's a first semi-final of the major in 7 years for Ivanovic. I mean, that's incredible to think that it's been that long since she made the semi-final. I think I'm just leaning with Safarova here, I think, Lee, because I think of the wins she's had so far. She's winning in doubles as well. I mean, she's keeping herself very busy here. I think she's going to keep the ball in play long enough to frustrate Anna Ivanovic. If you look at their head-to-head, she's owned her as well, really. She lost the last one, but I think it's 5-3 overall. I think she went on a run of 5 straight beating Ivanovic. So, you know, there's a lot of boxes that are ticked as far as Safarova goes here. And I just think she might be able to keep enough balls in play today to frustrate Ivanovic, who has had a fantastic run here. But I think overall, if you take 2015 as a whole, Safarova's been the better player. Make no mistake about that. So I'm just going to lean with her. I think she may well make her first slam final.
The men's semi-finals see Novak Djokovic versus Andy Murray and Joe Wilfried Tsonga versus Stan Wawrinka. Let's look at Tsonga Wawrinka first of all. 9-5, the Frenchman. Wawrinka is the favourite here. Kind of come from nowhere, really. There was talk about maybe some off-the-court problems and not really being in the right frame of mind for this tournament, but he's proved once again, as he did when he won his first slam, that once he gets on a roll, he really is a force to be reckoned with. And the same for Tsonga, really. We've seen him before at slams, just almost come from nowhere. The interesting thing here is, you know, you look at the head-to-heads, it's three each. They've played a lot on clay. The last 5 matches they've played have all been on clay, and Wawrinka's got the edge there. He leads at 3-2. They played each other last year in the France v Switzerland match. It went to four sets. It was three sets at the Madrid Masters in 2013, three sets at the Monte Carlo Masters in 2013 as well. The sets don't go long. You know, it's pretty much, you know, I'll hit you, you'll hit me back. A little bit like a kind of a toe-to-toe boxing match. You don't get too many tie breaks and 7-5s in these matches between these two. Which way are you swaying here, Nick?
As you mentioned, Wawrinka more than any other player in the last year has been, it's been feast or famine for Wawrinka. I mean, it really has. He's either lost in the first round or second round and looked completely out of sorts, or on the flip side, he's been able to win it. And in some ways, that's because he plays such an aggressive brand of tennis. You know, he does play such an attacking style that if it isn't on, or just if he's just not feeling it on a certain day, he will lose early. And I think you have to take that into consideration. I think that's something that he's done, obviously. He was great against Federer. I mean, if you look at the numbers, Lee, in this tournament, he's hit over 210 winners. I was just adding them up as a total. That's more than any other player in the draw on the men's side of things. I mean, he has the ability, the firepower from the back of the court to keep you pinned back. He hits such a heavy ball, which is why he's so, it's such a good surface for him, because he's able to keep you pinned back. He's able to, you know, hit the high loopy ball, but with also with pace and power. And that's so tough to defend against, because he can hurt you from so many areas. He can hurt you off the backhand side, probably the most aggressive backhand in men's tennis of the single-handed variety. And the forehand's destructive as well. And not just that, Lee, the serve also is great, an underrated part of Wawrinka's game. I mean, if you go through his serving stats so far during this tournament, they're outstanding. So I have to lean towards Wawrinka here. Tsonga's been a bit of a surprise package, I think I must say. He seems to have got himself in very good shape, which is probably one of the biggest factors for him to have come through. He's all about the serve and the forehand, as we know. He'll like it, though, if it's hot, which it's going to be. You know, 32 degrees, it's supposed to be warm, and the sun's going to be out. That's going to quicken it up a little bit, and that's going to make it, I think, a little tougher for Wawrinka, who likes the heavy conditions. He can hit through any conditions. So I think Tsonga will wake up tomorrow, and he'll feel pretty good about it. And there's a couple of other factors in here. You know, Songa's 30 years of age now. Time's running out for Joe. And I think it feels to me like in the last 6 months, since that meltdown in the Davis Cup, where he had a pretty awful time of it, it feels like he's matured a bit. You know, it was kind of just that moment in his career where he just thought, listen, I've got 2 or 3 years left at the top of the game. I've got to sort myself out. So I think Joe will have a go. Their history says 5 sets here. I mean, as you say, the last time they played at Roland Garros, I think it was 5. So wouldn't surprise me if this was close. The only concern for me, I think, is the weakness of Tsonga's back end. I think if Wawrinka can get there for enough period of time, he'll be able to win. I think Wawrinka will win in 4 sets. That's where my money would be. I think it will be fairly tight. Tsonga's going to enjoy the conditions. He's going to get some free points with the serve being as aggressive as it is. But I think Wawrinka has too much in his armoury, and I think he'll win in 4.
A few ways to play that. You can play Wawrinka to win 3-1 at 3-1. The other way of playing it is the match result and both players to win a set. So Wawrinka to win the match and Tsonga to win, that's at least a set, is 6-4. So that way that takes in a 4-set victory and a 5-set victory, counting both of those in there. You could also play Tsonga just to win a set as well. Another way of playing it. Which, you know, you can have a look at. That's a very short price, 1-3, though. So a few ways in, plus the overs and unders on the game markets as well. British interests stressed as ever with Andy Murray facing the world number one, Novak Djokovic, who's, of course, just demolished Rafael Nadal and handed him his second ever defeat. Djokovic is 1-6 to progress to the final here. Andy Murray is 17-4. We all know about the head-to-head record and how dominant Djokovic is against Andy Murray. It's a 1 win in the last 11 for Murray. That was, of course, the Wimbledon final in 2013. Djokovic has really dominated Andy Murray, as he did before it, to be fair, winning 7 on the spin and barely dropping a set. I think he's probably dropped 3 sets in that run of 7 as well, all on hard court. So the meetings on clay are few and far between. You have to go back to 2011, 2008 for their only 2 meetings on clay, and Djokovic won them both as well. 30-match winning streak for the Serb. I mean, Murray is unbeaten since getting married, and his clay court form has been fantastic, Nick. Is Djokovic about to end the honeymoon?
I think he might be. Yeah, I think he might be. And I don't think you can play it any other way. I must say, I mean, looking at the betting markets, to have Murray, for me, at 17-4, if you've got a few quid in your pocket, I'd certainly be having a go at that, because Djokovic, I couldn't back Djokovic at 1-6 in this market, despite how well he's playing. I think this is a much tighter match than it was yesterday for me. I mean, I have to say, if you follow the game closely, you had to admit that yesterday was a match that was coming. Nadal, despite his dominance over here, is nothing like the player he was of the last year or so. So I wasn't surprised to see Djokovic win in straight sets. For me, this is another level up. I think Murray's playing a level significantly above Nadal is right now. I've seen him a lot this tournament. I've seen him a lot in the last few months. And just putting Djokovic to one side, Murray is in very, very good form right now. The game has grown. The ground strokes have grown. The forehand is bigger. It's where it was perhaps at Wimbledon a couple of years ago. He's gone back to the aggressive style. He's stepping in. I was so impressed with the fourth set against Ferrer yesterday. I mean, Ferrer is one of the toughest guys to outmaneuver on this surface. And Murray killed him in the fourth set yesterday in more ways than one. We know he's got one of the best backends in the world, but the forehand has really joined the party. The second serve, he's taken it on. He's improved his second serve. There's a lot to like about Murray in this match, I can tell you at 17-4. I got a feeling this is going to be very close. If I'm betting on this, I'm looking at the overs market. I see the overs is 36.5 games at 5-6. I think this could be long. Djokovic is the benchmark for the game. Simple as that. There's no holes in his game either. But I think, given the hot conditions, these are two of the fittest guys we have on the tour. These two look after themselves like no other players do. It's going to be 33 degrees and sunny tomorrow. I think this could be a brutal match. Wouldn't surprise me to see it go five. I think it's got long written all over it. Murray has prepared. This is probably the best preparation Murray has ever had for a major. He wants to win this one. He thinks he can win this one as well. I think this is going to go long. You can't go away from Djokovic. You simply can't. He's set the benchmark, as I say. Murray needs to prove, again, that he can beat Djokovic, something he hasn't done, as you so rightly say, for a good while, since that Wimbledon final. But Murray's in the best form for me. I've seen him since that Wimbledon final. I think this has got length, this match, and I think Djokovic may just pip him 3-2. That would be my money.
3-2 for Djokovic is 6-1. Again, that match result on both players to win a set. You've got Djokovic 6-4 there. And so a few... Nick mentioned the over 36.5 at 5-6. The other way you could play it, if you think it's going to be tight, is Andy Murray on the handicap plus 6.5 games. So effectively, even if Djokovic won in straight sets 6-4, 6-4, 6-4, you'd land that bet there. So if he is going to take a set, that might be a nice way in if it's going to be tight throughout each of the sets. It's 5-6, Andy Murray plus 6.5 on the handicap. Nick, thanks very much for your time. As ever, we'll speak to you ahead of the finals.
Pleasure, Lee.
Yeah, thanks to Nick Lester there, getting ready to watch the semi-finals in Paris. We are, of course, covering every single shot of the French Open on InPlay Radio, live from noon every day, right through until the end of the tournament. So make sure you tune in, www.inplayradio.co.uk. Loads and loads of markets while the matches are in play, and three guys in the studio to carry you through that, and the worldwide football, plus the golf as it progresses through the rest of the weekend. Thanks very much for listening to this podcast, and if you haven't bet on any of the tennis markets, very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.